Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text for today is the John 10 text. Of course, it's Good Shepherd Sunday, or the fourth Sunday in Easter, or of Easter, I should say, of Easter. But the setting is kind of important to understand what's going on here. And so it is the Feast of Dedication. Now, we know the Feast of Dedication by a different name today. It's more commonly known as Hanukkah, right? And the Feast of Dedication has been celebrated by Israel since 164 BC. It is commemoration of the rededication of the temple that had been desecrated by the Seleucid emperor or ruler, Antiochus IV, Epiphanes. Antiochus is just a name given to their rulers. There were eight of those. But Epiphanes, that's when the fourth, Epiphanes, was claiming that he was the true visible God by his second name. That's literally what it means, the visible God. Under his command, his soldiers desecrated the temple when they sacked Jerusalem. They sacrificed a pig on the altar, and then they boiled the pig in water, and then took that boiled pig water and ran it around the foundations of the temple to completely defile the place. This led to a resurgence of Israelite pride in their country and in their temple and their worship, and led by Judas Maccabees, there was a revolt. They conquered, they had a Jewish victory, and it became then this annual 8-day festival or feast for Jews to celebrate on the 25th of Chislev. And those who don't use a Jewish calendar, that's something that can move, right? Because of the lunar calendar, it can be as early as late November or as late in December. And so this year, Hanukkah will start on December 22nd. If you were wondering when to start. The account of Hanukkah, though, is recorded. It's recorded in the Apocrypha of the Old Testament in 1st and 2nd Maccabees, in Maccabees 4 and Maccabees 10, if you're interested in this account of the gaining the temple back and this call for this celebration. So to understand the setting that Jesus walks into, there's a big swell of national pride. They've all got their Make Israel Great Again hats on, and they are and they're also openly looking for the Messiah. It's something that's clearly on their minds regularly at this time. So into this backdrop, Jesus comes into Solomon's colonnade, which you may or may not know is the only surviving section from Solomon's temple. And remember, during the Festival of Tabernacles or Booths, Jesus had appeared there before, and he did something no one had ever seen. He restored the sight of a man who had been born blind. He'd been blind since birth. And yet into this, these people come to Jesus and say, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." The issue is not whether they're actually wondering if he's the Christ or not. It's simply he's not the Messiah they want. They're not interested, you see, in saving their souls. They're only interested in the here and now. They're only interested in what's good for the flesh today. And that's the sad thing about Israel. If you really get into what they practice as a faith now, it seems the Sadducees won this part of the debate because they're not interested in the afterlife at all. There's no thought or discussion about eternity. It's only what you're doing now. And the Sadducees, of course, rejected the concept of the resurrection. So Jesus responds to them, and he's kind of blunt. His answer, though, is comforting to us as Christians, but it is an extremely blunt statement to those who have asked this question. "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep." Ouch. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me. He is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The crowd understood exactly what he said. If you look in the text at the very next verse, and it's not in our reading, the lectionary committee cut that part out, but their response was to pick up stones and want to stone him to death. Now we know they obviously didn't, but that they understood what Jesus was saying to them. It's amazing, though, how things never change. Truth has a way of producing hatred by those who reject the very concept of truth. Our culture today is a perfect example of this, as it appears that for some, truth only exists in their thoughts and their feelings, and they reject those, let's call those people the felt truthers. They reject those who have hard evidence and facts to speak against them. They view them, us, I would say, as hateful and bigoted and fascists. I love that people throwing that word around. It's clear they have no concept of what that is. Or whatever other term the feelers deem evil enough to disgrace you with. I mean, think about it. Today is Mother's Day. What are you going to do when somebody whose birth name is Steve tells you his name is Sally, and he wants a Mother's Day card? More importantly, what are you going to do when you're at work and Steve has to be called Sally, or you could lose your job? What do you do? What do you do when this Steve / Sally is unwilling to seek actual counseling and care that could help him through his problem that had always been, until recently, viewed as a false understanding of one's body, much like anorexia or bulimia, and receive counseling and therapy, not surgery and hormones? What do you do when Steve / Sally is asking to use the women's restroom or the women's changing room? And if you say anything, you could still get fired or be attacked by the mob. This isn't new. I know it feels new to us. St. Paul deals with this very kind of mindset, this very thought process in Romans chapter 1. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creepy things. Therefore, God gave them up to the lust in the lust of their hearts, to impurity, to dishonoring their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the Creator rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You see, Jesus here in our text, this good shepherd of ours, proclaims truth. In fact, he is truth. He proclaims a message that is not only for the Jews that day, because it is truth, his original audience, but because, for us as well, the sheep of this day. Because there is no middle ground when it comes to Jesus. Either you are a sheep, one of his flock, or you are a goat. The good news is that if you know the voice of the Good Shepherd, then you are truly his sheep, and no one can snatch you out of his nail-scarred hands. You see, our Good Shepherd Jesus brings us into his fold. In fact, the Good Shepherd Jesus came so that all could be his sheep, yet not all who hear his voice will listen or will stay in his fold. St. Paul reminds us in Ephesians 2 about our conversion. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Jesus just put it this way: I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. If you want to think about your own confirmation instruction, now would be the time to think the third article of the Apostles' Creed, right? And its explanation, I cannot of my own reason or strength. You see, our eternal life is all gift, and it has to be, because we are conceived in sin, and because of original sin, we commit all kinds of actual sins. And along with the devil and our sinful world, they three conspire to prevent us from hearing this good shepherd's voice or heeding his call. Your being here today proves that your spirit is indeed willing and desires to hear the voice of the good shepherd. But we dare not forget what Jesus says to his disciples who couldn't stay awake in the Garden of Gethsemane, that the flesh is oh so weak. And it gets in the way. It gets in the way of hearing the Good Shepherd's voice. Instead, it will listen to the siren call of the devil and the world as they cry out, "Why, Christians are judgmental." I guess we can take it, because if being somebody who stands on God's word of truth is judgmental, I guess that's judgmental. We're not here to judge somebody's heart. We're certainly not here to tell somebody they're going to hell, you know, because of that. We want them to come to faith. We want people to come hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, because he died once for all of them. But we have to stand on the truth. God is the creator. He establishes the order. He created marriage. He created man and woman in his image. And no matter what you feel about that, that's how God created it. Sorry. Well, not really. I'm not sorry. Because it's just truth. You might also hear the siren whisper, though, instead of yelling at you. I mean, today, the siren's screaming, right? The Catholics were warned not to go to church. People attacked in New York, St. Peter's Cathedral there, and broke statues and tried to get inside, and they were trying to get a hold of the consecrated host because they wanted to burn it outside, all because of the thought that each state would get a chance to vote on whether they want legalized abortion in their state or not. Makes no sense to me. And it made me think for a second that maybe we Lutherans have been too silent, because we speak on the same issue, but apparently not loud enough, because they're not here painting our church and tearing up our stuff. They're attacking our Catholic friends down the road. And we need to pray for them that they remain faithful and true. But when it stops screaming and starts whispering, you hear it, you know, in the morning. I'm tired. It was a late night last night. It was a long week. You did a lot. This bed just feels so comfy. Please remember, when those voices are whispering in your ear, that Jesus has told you that he is your rest, that we are to come to him for rest. When you're wearied and heavy laden, when you're burdened, come to Jesus. And then take a nap later. The older I get, the more I love naps. I even said in first service, husbands and fathers, please give your wives a nap today. That would be better than flowers or breakfast in bed. Let them get some rest. And it doesn't cost you a thing. We were hearing that in some places, that in places like New York City, it's common for people to go into debt to buy their mother a Mother's Day gift. Maybe you should show her love more than one day a year, so you don't feel you have to go into debt to buy her something or show her your appreciation. Enough of that. I'm sorry. I know that life is busy. Right? Kids have practice or games. The fish get to biting. The critters need to be shot. The game's going to be on. It's time to stand up. Really is, and put those things that are taking up time on Sunday in their place. Or at least take advantage of the fact that your church has a Thursday night service every week as well. We need to be hearing the shepherd's voice regularly and faithfully, because it is that that restores us to right relationship regularly and faithfully. Please hear this. This list of excuses that people have that seem to be almost infinite for not hearing the good shepherd's voice all have one very big thing in common. They reject the commandments of God, particularly the first commandment. As we so easily make ourselves and our wants and our stuffs our very idol that we worship instead of God. Of this and so much more, I pray we repented this morning with the confession and the absolution we heard from Pastor Rafa, who, by the way, is nice to have back healthy. But the absolution that declares your sins and my sins are forgiven by the grace of God and His gift of faith, not by our doing, again, so no one may boast. I know this message doesn't make the old Adam happy to hear. It may even make you mad at his under-shepherds. And that's okay if that's what happens. Just remember, the Jews wanted to stone Jesus. But know this. When you join yourself with those who sought to kill Jesus, that's not a team that you want to be on. Because that means what Jesus said to them is being spoken for you. I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. That would be horrible to hear. For those who will hear the Good Shepherd's voice, I have great news for you today. Your sins are forgiven. You are the Good Shepherd's sheep, and His sheep have eternal life given to them because He has given His life for His sheep. This is our gift today. But know this. When you come to the Good Shepherd's fold, the world and the devil are going to mark you for death. The goats are going to persecute us. They will make our life bitter if they can, and they will even strive to kill us if possible. But they can harm us none. They're judged. The deed is done. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has judged them. The Good Shepherd has defeated them in His death and resurrection. Or have you not heard? Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And by grace through faith, we are Jesus' given sheep, given Him by the Father. My Father has given them to me, He says, and He is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. I and the Father are one. So have no fear, little flock. That's what I love about the opening hymn. Hymn 666, O little flock, fear not the foe. How funny is that? Have no fear, little flock, for you will not perish. Our good shepherd has conquered sin, death, and the devil. Through baptism, this good shepherd joins his sinless flesh to our sinful flesh and kills it in his death and raises it in his resurrection that we arise in each day. Come today with repentant hearts and minds as our good shepherd gives us the food of immortality, joining again his flesh and blood to us, giving us his forgiveness, life, and salvation. Each week we come together, and by doing so we are confessing that we are His flock as we come to hear the Good Shepherd's voice. This is what His repentant flock does. It gathers in His fold to receive the gifts from the Good Shepherd and follow our Good Shepherd, who alone leads us out of the valley of the shadow of death all the way into life and an everlasting, the green pastures that He has prepared for us. And that is for all His sheep. For this good shepherd is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.